Scripture reading this morning, taken from St. John's Gospel, chapter 6, John chapter 6, commencing at verse 25. St. John's Gospel, chapter 26, from verse 25. When they found him, that's the crowd, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All whom the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." And this, friends, for us is the good news about Jesus. Thanks be to God. We pray together. Father, we thank you for your word to us. We pray that as Lindley now comes to open it for us, that we would have receptive hearts and minds of understanding, that we would encounter you and be challenged accordingly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, as most of you know by now, I like to eat my lunch every day at 12 o'clock or before 12 o'clock. And heaven help you if you encounter me, if you have a chat with me just before lunch, because, yeah, well. But to eat any later than 12, I get very hangry. I get very hungry and very angry, and you may identify with this as well, perhaps. Now, add that to the fact that in our house, we're currently trying not to eat sugar. Can you imagine how hangry I get now? It's not good. Yeah. Add that to the fact, I've just been distracted right now, by the fact that Diane very kindly gave me Rocky Road just this morning. And so now I'm in turmoil. My soul is in turmoil. I don't know what to do about that. But anyway, if we're honest, I think we can all get annoyed, we can all get irritable, we can all get angry, if we feel that we've not had our fill of food, our fill of blessings, our fill of the things we sometimes unintentionally think that we are due. And perhaps you'd like to keep your Bibles open, but I remind us all of verse 26, John chapter 6, 26. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. Don't we all get irritable if we haven't had our fill, not only when we haven't had our hunger satisfied, we don't have those things that we think that are due to us. But you'll notice in your Bibles that just after these verses we've shared this morning, the people begin to murmur, if you follow. I think it's about chapter, verse 41. Thank you. The people begin to murmur and to complain. It's easier for us to count our complaints sometimes than it is our blessings. It is our default sometimes to grumble. Is it our default to grumble or to be grateful? So may we fight against grumbling and complaining. Fight for contentment instead in Jesus. Our stomachs may sometimes physically grumble, but we don't need to. And then if you notice in your Bibles too, just before the reading, Jesus has fed over 5,000 people, all using just five small loaves and two fish. And the disciples have been asking Jesus where to find bread to feed the people just in the chapter previous. And so now we get to our chapter. It's now the next day and the crowds are following Jesus. But it's clear that they're just following him to get more food from him. Just think, if you were one of those people present when Jesus performed that miracle, you may be thinking you would never have to work again. Does that sound quite good? Yeah? Okay. I don't think Linda would like that. You'd never have to work again. You'd never have to pay for food ever again. Does that sound good too? Instead, you may be thinking you'd ask Jesus to rustle up some dinner when you're next hungry. Rather than Jehovah Jireh, Lord Provider, you could be thinking, there goes my personal chef. The people's focus is on their bellies rather than their hearts. And Jesus exposes their hearts. 1 Samuel 16 verse 7 says, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. He knows our hearts. And so my question today is, what is the posture of our hearts? What is the posture of your heart, of my heart, towards Jesus? The people of the story today were following Jesus for physical and temporal benefits, and not for the satisfying of their spiritual hunger. What is the posture of our hearts today towards Jesus? And if you keep following, in verse 27, Jesus says, do not labour for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. Now, living in this pretty warm country, it has been a bit warm, hasn't it? We're all too aware that bread can go mouldy. And if bread goes mouldy, as it did when we'd forgotten to throw it away, having been on holiday for 17 days, I was going to bring it in to illustrate this, but I didn't. But when it goes mouldy, it perishes. Jesus is saying, don't focus on your hunger or for bread that won't really satisfy. Don't feast on food that perishes. Don't fill that God-shaped void in your life with things that don't last. We've all done that, right? We have all been there, yeah? And what's that resulted in? Instead, he says, there is food that will help us to live forever because it lasts forever. If you saw the bread of life for sale in Coles or Woolies, perhaps when you're shopping, you definitely want to buy it. But we can't get it in supermarkets, so where can we get this bread for eternal life? In verse 28, they say, tell me what we must do. And it seems like they're almost tightening up their shoelaces, if they had shoelaces. And Jesus says to them in verse 29, believe on the one in whom God has sent. And you can almost hear them saying, that sounds too easy. That sounds too simple. It might have been our response previously too. And that really is a crisis point. Salvation is either all of grace or it's nothing at all. It's either all of grace or it's nothing at all. Salvation is a sinner saying, I have no bargaining chips. I'm starving. I've got nothing to offer. What God requires of us is to be in relationship with him, to come with the empty hands of faith and say, none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. I'm banking everything on Jesus. And you know, I believe, help my unbelief. In verse 33, Jesus tells us more about it. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The bread of God is a person, one who came from heaven and who gives us life. So who is it then? Verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Now, the phrase I am is found 7 times in John's Gospel, and it's an echo of the name of God revealed in Exodus 3 to Moses. Jesus is saying that he is God, the God who provides for his people. Jesus gives us life as we come to him and believe in him. I knew a man who used to simply exist. In fact, I used to be related to him, but I'm not now. But that's a whole different story. But each weekend, he'd spend his weekend getting ready for work on Monday, and he kind of missed out on the weekend, or it seemed like it to me. He used to exist rather than to live in many other ways. By the way, I hope he's very happy wherever he is now. But you get the idea, we can choose to exist or we can choose to live. The bread of life allows us to live. John 10:10, I have come that you may have full and abundant life. That life is given only through the one who offers nourishment. And so today, we choose life, that abundant life. We don't know too much about being hungry for food, or maybe perhaps you may have had an insight into that. You might be feeling hungry now. But we have hungry hearts, hungry maybe for comfort, hungry maybe for romance, who knows, or for money, hungry maybe for power, or hungry maybe for approval. But everyone in the world is hungry for something. But we, who choose to follow Jesus, hunger and thirst for God. Jesus promises us life, and he promises that life will completely satisfy us, both now and forever. And the reason Jesus can give us life is because he died for us on the cross. His body was broken on the cross for us. Jesus completely satisfies. And many of us are testimony to that fact today. Jesus satisfies us, but satisfying God does not come from the work we do. From verse 28 and 29, you'll see those questions addressed. But from whom we believe. So do not listen to the enemy's lies if you hear differently. Do not listen to the enemy's lies if you hear differently. The enemy is at work, but God is conqueror. All spiritual development is built on this affirmation. Declare to Jesus, Matthew 16:16, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and together let's flourish on a life of belief that is satisfying to our Creator. And we know that truth in our best times. We're reminded of that when we gather together. But what about those times when we think other things or even people can satisfy? We may be unintentional in doing that. The problem is that we aren't feasting on God's word. That if we aren't feasting on God's word, other things can creep in. So tell the evil one to take a hike, because Jesus is the victor. Do you see in verse 58, even the manna given by God to the Israelites was limited, It says, "This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died." God gave that manna for physical nourishment. He goes all out, however, and gives us much, much more than that, much more than we could ever hope for, everlasting life because of Jesus. Now, when we truly grab hold of this promise, there's evidence of where we've been feasting in our lives. Have we sometimes been feasting on spiritual Big Macs, though? You know what I mean? Have we been content with a Sunday special of takeaway spiritual food? If we aren't, if we're banqueting at a buffet of biblical blessings, it will show. Just as it will show if we've been existing on spiritual fast food. Just a word here to parents of young children. God understands and he knows your first ministry. And he knows that you can't enjoy an extensive quiet time in the mornings when your child is needing to be clothed or to be fed or to be whatever children need. Don't beat yourself up. In fact, don't beat yourself up anyway, whoever you are, if you've perhaps got it a bit wrong. Have we not been too good at being properly nourished? Start again. Start again right now. I know you've heard lots of messages on feasting on the Word of God. Note the word feasting rather than nibbling. And you may find it hard. You may not be a big reader. Well, apart from the knowledge of that God's Word is living and is far more than mere words, you may need to digest it in other ways. So how about listening to maybe trying an audio copy? Listening audibly. Or if you have a smartphone, there's a great app called Pray As You Go. Why not download it? It's free. Or why not write verses of God's promises to you and stick them on your wall, on the places you often go to in your house, your car, your office? You don't even need to visit Coorong for that. How about making an appointment time, as you do, to go for a visit to a doctor? How about making a daily entry in your diary or on your phone? An appointment time with God and keeping it, as you would for a friend. Perhaps you have other ideas and ways of feasting on the Word. Well, I ask you today that after our gathered worship, you find someone, maybe sharing how you spend your daily appointment time with God, and let them share with you. You'll both benefit. Why not check in with that person next week and see how they've been going? Feed yourself, but help others to be fed too. If you realise that you're hungry today, come to Jesus and receive life from him. It's as easy as taking bread and eating it. People eat bread to satisfy physical hunger. Bread must be eaten to sustain life. And Christ must be invited into our daily walk to sustain spiritual life. Actually, I don't like the phrase spiritual life, because what is life without Jesus? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, Psalm 34, verse 8. Because once we've had a taste, why would we want to stop feasting on him? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Nothing, not anything else in the world can satisfy like Jesus does. So let's stop nibbling and instead feast with him. Taste and see. So let's, in tasting and seeing, we can step into the promises of God. We all know that it's easy to stand on the outer edge of anything in life and to look in, to spectate. But God desires you to step into his promises because they are for you. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, you are included. It may be that you feed on the bread of life regularly, and that's good. That's really good. But I've never heard of anyone getting overfed on the bread of life. So let's take a chance on being the first. Wherever we are on our journey, let us take time now to empty ourselves in order that we might be filled with his Holy Spirit, the only one who can truly fill us. So let's take time to examine the posture of our own hearts. And if it helps you, you may like to come while we pray. And there is some bread available. There's gluten-free on just on this smaller tub. You may like to take some bread and just respond in any way that you want to. Let's take this time to just respond to God and to feast on Him and to be filled full of Him once again as the worship team help us in singing and in praying. The thing is, we live in a broken world and sometimes it may feel like we're drowning, but as we sing and pray, we call out to you, Jesus, because we trust in your promises and we trust you, Jesus. Amen.